case you missed it the first time. This is a Riggs and Allie Rewind.
It's 103.7 KISS FM with Riggs and Allie on a Tuesday. And today we're standing in solidarity with everybody. And the music industry is doing something called Blackout Tuesday, where they're all taking a pause. Like record labels and artists, you probably will see it on your social media feeds for Blackout Tuesday. But This is like what's happening in our world. And yeah. Allie and I were sitting here. We've been talking for the last 25 minutes. Like,
yeah. We're off the air about how what are people thinking about? What are you stressed about the protests? Are you stressed about what's going on with George Floyd? Are you stressed about COVID? Are you not stressed about anything? What are you watching? What are you paying attention to?
Yes.
Are you paying attention to one and not the other? Are you paying attention to both? Like, I have no idea. The world is all over the place.
It really is.
You can't get a pulse on anyone.
It really is. And furthermore, what do you expect from us as somebody that's supposed to be an escape, but we also have to be part of the conversation to make some change.
Right.
We can't just.
Well, I'm not going to sit here quiet.
No.
That's not never been who I've been.
You quiet?
But, I mean,
no.
Hell no. But, you know, I would love for people to call in or text to 414-799-1037. You can text now to that number.
Yep. Text or call. Either one.
Because, like, I'm watching it all because, hello, I want to know what's going on and I care. And I'm not saying if you don't care. I'm saying people do have kids and things. I get as a mom.
Sure.
I'm busy as hell. Squeezing in news and reading things takes time too, you know?
It does.
So are there people not paying attention to anything?
And there's also,
I don't know.
And there's also a need for people to unplug sometimes. Sometimes you have to shut off the news and you have to shut off your social media feeds to get away from it.
Your brain gets so stressed. Yeah.
So overstimulated, and you create all of this anxiety about this, a lot of uneasiness and unrest in the world that's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're here
for
you.
It's a crazy world.
So we're here for you. What's going on in your world? What are you concerned about? What do you care about right now? Are you trying to use this radio as an escape? 799-1037 with the 414 area code. You can call or text that number. Oh, somebody's calling right now. Should I blindly take a call?
I don't know. Go for it. We asked. God. Be careful what you wish for is the point, Riggs.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, whew.
I mean, I'm upset that nobody was there,
but I'm
glad it wasn't something awful.
Yeah. Well, and we're going to have a lot of people on, you know, today to talk about what's going on.
About an hour from now, we'll be talking to the Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin, Mandela Barnes. Mm-hmm. In the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be talking with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. We'll have them on the show to kind of get their perspective of how things are going in the state and how things are going in Milwaukee.
Yeah, hear from some leadership, you know, and like, I want to talk to everybody we can for sure.
Look, now people are calling. All right, I'm going to roll with it now. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
You're a wild man, Riggs.
Good morning, KISS FM. Who's this?
I'm responding to Riggs and Allie.
Oh, well, you're talking to Riggs and Allie. What's your name?
Eileen,
good morning.
Hey,
so,
Eileen.
What's going on in your world, Eileen? What are you worried about? What are you concerned about? What are you passionate about?
I am passionate about trying to find the truth. And I sort of feel that we're not getting the truth on the mainstream media. And even radio, to a degree, is controlled because it's all about the companies that own the media.
Hey, we're not controlled by anybody. We do what we want. I'll tell you that right now.
We're crazy. No, that's fair. I understand where she's headed, though. She says and I think that I can relate to that, too, actually. I think it's confusing right now.
Like, I live by myself now. My kids are grown up and gone.
Okay.
But I'm still worried about my three daughters. And, you know, one lives close to where there was shootings last night on the north side. So, you know, these things plague me. My mind is, like, all over the map. First of all, work first. You know, you're trying to focus on all the changes and changing to Epic computers. We've got this Go Live coming up. Well, safety. We don't have a security guard at our building anymore. I had two guys pin me in at 7 o'clock in the morning in my work parking lot. And then a week later, we got a security guard. But now he's gone because there's probably more dangerous areas to worry about. And, you know, I won't say where I work or anything. But safety for my family, you know, is number one concern. Finding out the truth, because there's so many different things you'll hear on the media. I don't really trust anything.
It's, it makes you feel uneasy, doesn't it?
There's a lot of uneasiness
in the world.
It's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of messages. I understand.
And I'm...
You know, and my mind goes back to when I was little, like... From a child's point of view, you know, you're sheltered from a lot of things. Is this how it was in the 60s with the racial riots and everything? Was it this bad? Is some of this fabricated by George Soros donated $18 billion to the Ford Foundation, to all these foundations like Antifa and Black Lives Matter? Well, of course they matter. But I think that
somebody was saying earlier how the late 60s are paralleling now because you've got race riots. You've got the space race that's happening because we just sent someone to space. I don't know if you missed that over the weekend, but we sent men into space. So a lot of things are paralleling the late 60s. It's interesting.
During the riots were so scary as a child to see that.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting, Eileen, because my kids don't know a lot. They're 6 and 8. And I was watching the news yesterday and I just told them, this is what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
And we're not okay, you know, with anyone being treated this way. Yeah. And we do not want this. I was talking to them about the police brutality and the racism and trying to get that. But I understand it. You have kids, you have a job, you're worried about all these things and you don't know what to believe.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are confused right now, and we totally feel you on that.
Well, this is great. Eileen, thank you for calling. We hope that you stay safe, and we appreciate your honesty.
I want to say something really quick. 80%, I heard, of the people in Minnesota that were rioting weren't from Minnesota, so I don't know where that comes
from. I don't know where that came from either. But thank you for calling.
And 80% probably weren't being violent either.
Right.
That's the other thing, you know.
Well, we'll take your calls, 414-799-1037, and read your text. Unfiltered, it's as long as you're clean about it. We'll talk to you next. Hold on, it's Kiss.
This is a Riggs and Allie Rewind.
103.7 Kiss FM. It's Riggs and Allie, 739. Good morning. We're talking about where you are this morning mentally. Like, what's going on in your world? Because there's so much going on. What are you passionate about right now? What do you worry about? What are you anxious about? What's happening right now?
What are you stressed about?
Yeah. 799-1037. I'm going to bring Amy on because we were just talking to Amy.
Actually.
We were just talking to Amy. Amy, good morning. Because we were talking with Eileen, who called in a couple minutes ago, and you had a comment about what she was saying or what was being discussed. Go ahead, Amy.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment because I try to stay out of a lot of this, but I noticed when she was, you know, I know you're trying to be unfiltered right now, and that's what we need, right? We need to look at both sides of everything.
Sure.
In a reasonable way.
You know, I don't think anybody, I'm sure there are people out there, but I see the race issues, right? I see all of that. That is clearly an issue that's been a long-standing issue. It needs to change.
Yeah.
But it's not just a race issue right now either. I mean, when we're looking at everything that's going on, we need to talk about both sides of everything. And I just want to make this comment. I noticed when she started talking about something, I feel like you kind of censored her. You know,
when she got off on the Antifa and all that stuff, is that what you're talking about? Because I'll say it out loud. I mean, I'm not here to censor anyone. We let her go for a while.
I don't think it was you, Ellie.
Are we getting too far gone at this point?
No,
to talk about the core issue, man.
No,
right.
That.
I hear you. But I feel like we need to, you know, to be fair people, we need to examine all of these things, right? And we need to give people the opportunity to discuss these things openly. The problem with all of these things is that people are so narrow-minded. So if we want to fix narrow-mindedness, we need to be able to openly discuss things, right? And just because you disagree with it or because it seems far-fetched doesn't mean that people shouldn't be able to speak their opinion.
Totally
right?
Agree. I totally agree with you. But
what
you also
do you feel
have to...
like she didn't get out? What do you feel like she was trying to say that wasn't
heard? Well, I know that there's a lot of concern with that, right? There's rioting, there's looting, and there's a lot of stuff going back and forth from both sides saying that this is...
I've seen videos online that are very valid videos from credible sources showing that Antifa people, and there are people that have paid rioters and protesters and handed off bricks. That's happened. I've seen it before with my own eyes. So if that's where she was going, then yes. But that's a very small part of it, though.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remove myself from a lot of this. I'm not trying to be a bystander either. I have
been raised with a moral compass. I raised my kids with a moral compass. I don't exclude myself from understand. You know, implicit bias is also a big part of this race issue, because while people can say that they're not racist, you cannot deny that you have implicit bias. So,
AKA white privilege, a little bit.
Society. That's a lot of society in our issues. Yeah.
Implicit bias, meaning, I explain this to my daughter this way. Implicit bias is something that you're not consciously making the decision to be racist, right?
Well, yeah. You're talking about ignorance, basically. You're talking about people that don't really know they have biases, or they're not even aware of it. And that doesn't mean a white person. That can be anyone. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no,
I understand.
I don't. It's not an excuse. I'm not saying it's an excuse by any means. I'm aware. I'm very aware of, you know, my role and, you know, the way that I view these things. However, my whole entire point was really, you know, I just hope for open and honest conversations on both sides. I'm so tired of censorship and from, like, people not able to openly and honestly discuss things. I think it's such a hindrance to anything moving forward, because people are so quick to shut other people down.
I agree.
Okay.
Right?
So we agree with you. So what now? What do you think? What are you worried about?
Well,
and what do you think we should be doing as a community?
Honestly, I think if you think back, these race issues have been going on from the dawn of time, right? I mean,
well, yeah, you go back to slavery and bringing slaves over from Africa, yes.
Americans and right, this is not something that you can change overnight. It takes education. It takes teaching people patience. It takes teaching people to learn.
It takes listening. It takes empathy.
Right, yeah. Like this, I don't know what to do, because anywhere you go, it's not just cops. You've got bad people everywhere.
Yeah, it's true.
Right. So
absolutely.
I
don't
know
how to fix it. Talk about our relationship with police, right? And we talk about the community, and we talk about the Black community and their relationship with the police. We also have to acknowledge the lack of trust, and we have to figure out what we're going to do here and ways that we're going to get back, you know. And it's a mess, and I don't have the answers for that.
And that's why we're opening up and having being as honest
talk
as we
about
being
it and acknowledge it. And I agree with everything she said about, you know, that there are a lot of people that don't even realize their biases, because it's just ingrained in them.
And that's okay. But you need to recognize it, that you have
it's about recognizing. That's the core of this, is recognizing your own stuff.
So whether you're Black or white or Asian or Hispanic, every person has an implicit bias against another race, and you have to acknowledge that. So we can't just say, don't be racist.
We need awareness and
don't be racist. You have to be aware, because this isn't an issue that just popped up overnight. This has been going on since people were different colors.
We get
forever.
It. Well,
right?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how you fix it without being aware of the problem in the first place.
Or, it's or the awareness.
Actually, people willingly acknowledging that they're aware. So
yes,
self-accountability is what you're saying. Self-accountability.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's not going to go anywhere. And whether you're on the left side or the right side, you know, people should all feel the same. And I feel like right now it's turning into a huge political issue. Like you said, with all of the questions, you know, the motives behind these riots.
Well, it's also an election year too, so that's
I think that just ruins it. You know, ruins it.
It takes away from the
like this are politicized, and it takes away from the core problems.
Yeah.
And it's I wish people would open their eyes and really, you know, look at these things. I feel like there is a lot of corruption in the government, and a lot of it I feel like I've seen in the past couple years more than I've ever seen in my life.
You think?
You know?
I want to read this text. It says, maybe the very first thing we need to do is stop saying Black communities and start saying communities.
Yeah.
Because we all live together. Yes, but we are to not acknowledge the core of this, and to also, well, first of all, we don't all live together.
We're one of the most breaking the fourth wall. Allie, mute your FaceTime, please.
Oh, sorry, I can't actually because my internet's blowing out right now, right in the middle of all this lovely.
Yeah, hold on, Amy. Thank you.
I was saying, we're one of the most segregated cities in the country. How are we going to be like we all live together?
I was talking with my daughter about that yesterday, and we were discussing how can you fix this problem when we live in one of the most segregated cities in the nation?
My boss was saying we're number four, I think. Number three or four.
I mean, we were three or four in the country, which is the most segregated.
How can you fix this problem? I mean, you know, my daughter and I were talking about this, and I said, well, you know, we were talking about the police officer issue and how, you know, why don't we rotate cops through all districts? Why do police officers only work in one
I've
district?
Thought that, too. Why don't you have Franklin cops go downtown, downtown cops come out to the burbs and switch them around?
And high crime areas, they should be rotated to prevent, like, burnout, basically, and these types of negative...
Oh, I saw somebody say that, that we almost should, they should be moved around so they don't get burnt out and stuck in these ways of being exhausted.
Well, because you only know what you see. If you're always seeing the bad in one community, you're going to assume that anytime you encounter that type. Yes.
All that does is feed your implicit bias, right? So you can't, you're not maybe consciously making the choice to be racist, but you have implicit bias.
Yeah.
And so when you're in those environments like that, these high crime areas, and it's a highly segregated city, that feeds those implicit biases. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the things that people need to recognize and not place blame for, because everybody has them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amy, thank you.
I just want to read this.
Thank you for calling, Amy. We got to move forward, but thank you very much. We appreciate your call and we appreciate your input. We really do. Thank you for listening.
Let me read one text. I'll leave you with this. It says, my husband is a Milwaukee police officer. No off days, 12 plus hour shifts. Kids miss him. I miss him. Pouring from an empty cup over here. So I just want to read, since she says she doesn't want a censoring, I'm just reading them all.
Yeah.
And I'll put it out there. I reached out to the Milwaukee Police Department if anyone wanted to come on the show, a spokesperson. I haven't heard back. So
no.
That's where we're at right
by
now.
By the way,
I know they're busy. They're very busy.
We've talked for 10 minutes now. We've talked for way more than we're normally supposed to. I mean, how much we care about this.
Is this a normal world, Riggs?
No, it's not. I mean, normally we'd be playing like Post Malone right now or Roddy Ricch, which we're going to play next. But we need to take a quick break and we'll be right back. 414-799-1037 if you'd like to talk or text. We'll talk to you next. Hold on, it's Kiss.
This is a Riggs and Allie Rewind.
103.7 Kiss FM. It's Riggs and Allie at 752. I think we've talked more in the last 15 minutes than we've talked in weeks. And I love it. I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. Today's we're in solidarity with the music industry, something called Blackout Tuesday that everybody's doing. You'll probably see it on your Facebook and your Twitter or wherever you happen to be. We are also participating in that. The show must be paused is the theme. And things have to be paused because conversations need to be had. And we're having some real talks right now. Mm-hmm. Tyler is in West Dallas, who's been on hold very patiently for the last 10 or 12 minutes. Tyler, good morning. Did you have anything that you wanted to add to the conversation?
Good morning. You know, right now, because we're talking about what stresses us out and makes us anxious.
Are you stressed about, you know, everything going on with George Floyd and the protests? Are you stressed about COVID? Are you stressed about work? Are you stressed about not working? What are you worried about?
Like,
we're trying to get the pulse.
Yeah. So there's a few things. The first one, I'm a 21-year-old college student.
Okay.
The first thing that I'm worried about is, am I going back to school next semester?
You know,
like I'm paying over $10,000 a year for a college education, and mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm going back.
And they're not going to
concern we didn't even bring up.
And they're not going to refund you for the time that you're not there, I don't think.
Exactly. And, you know, with everything that's happened in the past 4 days, 5 days, the biggest thing that stresses me out is how do I myself, as a straight white male, support the community that's out protesting. Mm-hmm. Like, I went to a protest Saturday in downtown, and it was awesome. I loved every moment that I was there.
Aww.
I just, how do I, after these protests, continue supporting the cause for, you know,
That's a great question. Keep doing what you're doing.
Stop racism and stop police brutality. Yes, I agree.
Be aware of
those are great questions. And you know what? Those are things we can ask our Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes when he's on the show later. These are, you know, I want answers too.
Yeah, we definitely do. But I think I would think keep doing what you're doing. Keep
absolutely
speaking out for people that keep use your privilege and your voice to give others a voice that don't have. Give your voice to the voiceless and keep doing things like that. I mean, part of
the fact that you went to a peaceful protest alone, you're doing way more than a lot of people. I hope you know that.
Yeah.
I know, but you know, being a college student and only having a summer job, like the one thing I want to do is donate and find resources to donate to, because I feel like the only way things are gonna, you know, get done and happen is if we find ways to support our our community.
Sure. But Tyler, you don't have to donate monetarily. You could donate your time too, and that's just as precious and just as good, is to donate your time to an organization. Find one that you want to, like Sojourner Peace House maybe, or find an organization that supports those communities. Volunteer your time, reach out to them, say, how can I help? Because they're all needing help right now. They've needed help, and now more than ever. So I think that's another way you can help.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for calling this morning.
Yeah, no problem.
We appreciate it. Let's go to Kathleen this morning. Good morning, Kathleen. How are you feeling? What's going on with you?
Good morning. Thank you. First, I want to thank you guys for this platform, for having this dialogue, because it's so important. I'm calling as a biracial woman. And as a biracial woman, I'm considered a black woman. And I'm so, like, I listened to one of the callers, and she said something about patience. And it's like, how much more patience do you expect black people to have? They've been patient for many, many years. And
they're angry.
Now that everything is exploding, it's like that pimple is popping. They're angry. We're angry. We have to fear, you know, I heard her say she had discussions with her daughters. I've had discussions with mine, and our discussions are so much different when it comes to
having black children. What are your discussions like compared to?
You know, if you get pulled over, keep your hands on the steering wheel. Yeah. Do not raise your voice. You know, ask them if it's okay to reach for your wallet. Those kinds of discussions, and I shouldn't have to be afraid to be pulled over by the cops. I got pulled over coming home from Texas, and it was like one of those speed traps where the speed literally jumped down, and I didn't realize it because I'm not from there. The cop pulled me over, nice enough cop, but he asked me to come to his squad car and get in the front seat. I was mortified. And everybody's like, well, why did he do that? I still to this day have no idea. This happened to me last year in April, and I was scared to death. My twin sister was in the car with me, and she's like, what do we do? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, you know, turn on the camera. I was like, you know, be ready to call, jump in the seat if they do something to me, because I was the driver, you know? I went to the car, and he had me get in the front seat, and I like had my leg out of the door, like ready to run, and I was like, oh my God, is this going to get bad? But I have no record, and yet I was mortified and I was frightened. And he was a nice officer, you know? But again,
getting out of your car to get in his? It made no sense whatsoever. Yeah, there was something off. I agree with that.
But if I would have said no, could it have escalated? So I did what he said.
Yeah.
But
complying, even though you know that it's wrong as you're going through that, which is.
Right.
Right.
And being afraid no one will believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, right. So I did what he said to do, and I went and I got in his car. And I was, you know, to this day, I'm like, oh my God, that could have turned so bad. But he didn't, and thank God. And listen, I understand the protest, and I understand that people are upset because of the looting and the violence.
There's just people need a place to put their hurt and their frustration and their anger.
Right.
No matter what you have those emotions over, this is so boiled up that people in the community have to find somewhere to put that emotion. That's where we're at, with no change.
I've heard from many in the black community, we've tried peaceful protesting. Peaceful, this hasn't worked. I mean, people have tried like kneeling. People have tried doing very peaceful ways, and now they don't know where to put that anger. Yeah.
Right. And 1 week, you guys, I mean, just think about it. In 1 week, how many things have you heard on the news where a black person was accused? You had the George Floyd killing where they just killed him. And we watched that. We watched that. That was utterly devastating. Then you had the lady with the autistic son blamed black men for kidnapping her son that she murdered. Then you had the lady that was in the New York park.
The city, the Chicken Central Park.
I agree. Yeah. There's way too many videos. Like, what's the question? There is no question in my mind because we've seen enough. I yeah. get it. You know,
right.
And I get the hurt and the frustration. And I honestly, like, listening to you talk about some of this, I almost want to cry sometimes because it's messed up that, like, you have to deal with things like this and I don't. Or the talks you have to have with your children are different than mine. Why is there such a different, you know what I mean? We are all so in, it's just sucks. And
it
I
is.
Keep hearing from listeners and people in the community, they're hurt. I don't, you know, and hurt comes out as anger. I get it sometimes, but I keep hearing those words. And you got to remember, DJ GA said it yesterday. He's just hurt.
Yeah.
It's hurtful, some of this stuff, you know? So,
Kathleen, thank you.
But I just one more thing. I'm sorry. But the comment that she made with patience, there's no more patience to be had. And that's the sad part.
Mm-hmm.
So now where do we go with this? And I'm scared to death. I call my daughter every night. Are you at home? Please don't go out. But at the same time, I want to say, but we should go out there, but we're scared, you know?
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
thanks a lot for being a platform. I do appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for calling and keep doing what you're doing out there.
Yep.
All right.
We appreciate you listening.
Thank you, girl.
I want to go to our last call, but we're so over on time right now.
I know. I
don't care. I want to talk to him.
Whatever.
I don't care.
This is more important.
I'll take the hit later.
This is more important, yeah.
Krilo, good morning. You're calling from Chicago, who listens to us with the radio.com app. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
What were you calling about? What's on your mind?
Hey, you know what's on my mind when you were out? I'm just concerned about getting older now. I'm 50 years old. You know, I understand what y'all saying about the topic. I'm just being a mixed breed Afro American man. I'm just moving on with life, man. And I'm just I'm tripping about it. Because this is my opinion to the community and the world. My seeing my eyes and what I've been through, it's a change. It's not a change. And what I'm saying, y'all see it. It's frustration. And that's all it can do. Y'all, like y'all say, turn on the news, turn off the news. So I'm just moving on. And I asked my higher power up above just to have us all as community move on. You know, we say we trying to get things together with every. I'm talking about the world, and I ain't got to go there with y'all. You know, I'm just gonna keep it real short.
Yeah.
But I just pray we get it together. But you know, sometimes we get it together and we don't. And y'all can see that what I'm saying. And I just pray that we all come to a community as one because we talking about it. And I'm from the real real streets in Chicago. Let's be about it. Now let's grow. When you come out the streets like y'all said, come out that mess. When you're young, you do foolish things. So when you grow up, you start growing up, and you like y'all like the callers were saying, your voices, and you learn and live and learn. Now let's start living and learn. If we're gonna talk that talk, if you see what's on, let's talk and walk and be a good community. Let's don't talk, mm-hmm. and then tomorrow. We all doing something new, doing that same
right.
thing.
That's the problem with America.
Right.
We're such an ADD society. As soon as this is gone, we're on to the next thing. It's the next thing that we're concerned about, the next hashtag that we have to support.
Right. Mm-hmm. So y'all, you know, I'm listening from Chicago. We bless y'all, and y'all doing good. Yes, let's keep this world going. Let's keep it moving. Keep it moving, going. Let's keep it moving forward. And I like what you and Allie said. You know what? Let's be us. You be Allie, he be him, I be me. Let's be, just be you. And you know what? Let's respect other nationalities and keep on moving. With that, God bless y'all.
Thank you for dropping the microphone.
Okay.
Be blessed, man. Thank you for calling. Thank you so much for calling.
This is a Riggs and Allie Rewind.
We are 103.7 KISS FM. It's WXSS and WXSS HD1 Wauwatosa, Milwaukee. Today, we stand with our friends in the music industry in observance of Blackout Tuesday. We must use our voices to effect change. We stand for love, hope, peace, unity and acceptance, and we stand against injustice. And today the show must be paused so we can take the time to listen. In Milwaukee, we are listening. We're taking your calls this morning, talking more than ever than we normally do because it needs to happen. Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes will be on the show in about 20 minutes. We have Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, who will be on next hour. So we're talking to people that can actually listen to you and create change in our community. Mm-hmm. And taking calls at 414-799-1037. You can text that number as well. Rob, good morning, who's driving around on the north side right now trying to do some good. Rob, what's on your mind?
Well, what's on my mind is I'm driving around the north side right now, and I'm not trying to cause more divide, but I am blown away that I don't see any white people. There's nobody down here helping. Where are all the callers that, you know, we got to help. We got to be, where are you people?
What needs to be done?
Anything. But come down to the communities. They're down here. The churches, the food kitchen. They're organizing. See what you can do.
Yeah.
There have been pictures
of white women. Well, and that's one of the things the callers were saying. How can we help? You know?
Well, you know, the white people have to start getting involved. The white community. I'm from an. I'm fortunate enough to come from an upper middle class suburban neighborhood. That doesn't mean that's the only place I live. This is our city. These are our people.
Yeah.
Why can't white people? And I've done it. I've been down there. Women are locking arms, white women, and barricading themselves between the police and the protesters to show solidarity. They're marching with them. You know, all this nonsense. I'm starting to get pissed off. The woman talking about patience. I was born the year the Chicago riots took place, and nothing has happened in 51 years. Nothing. I come from four generations of police officers. Got 12 on the job right now throughout the state of Wisconsin. MPD, sheriff's departments up north, police departments, Menominee, all over. The systemic racism in the police department is rampant. They can sit in the podiums and say what they want. I attend the parties with the police. I attend the parties with the fire department. Stop the nonsense. Stop this, give everybody a hug, and it's going to be better. Colin Kaepernick exercised his First Amendment right, and they crapped on him. He's anti-American. Our president called him an SOB. He should be fired. Take their guns. You want to see violence? Start infringing on people's Second Amendments like these. Should we encapsulate all white people to the idiots that stormed the Capitol in Michigan? Is that how we should encapsulate all gun owners as violent, radical idiots?
No.
That's what you're doing. That's what the people on the news are doing to the people that are protesting peacefully. They're taking the bad ones and they're making them all bad.
And that's the problem.
It's wrong.
And you could argue the same point for police officers. They're taking the bad ones and making them all bad. There are bad ones, but there are a lot of good ones.
But hang on, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
What is the first thing, and this is the black people, all my black brothers and sisters out there. When you get arrested for something, what's the first thing they say? Well, who did it? Where'd you get it from? Who was involved? How did you get there? Was he there? Why don't they do that? Why don't they turn on their bad cop? Why don't they turn them in? Because when they do, they get fired and they get moved. That's why.
They get retaliation, yes.
Yeah, they don't. They want you to rat on your friends all day long. That's all they're asking for you to do, but they won't rat on each other. The problem with the good cops is they're protecting the bad cops, which makes them as bad. When you have three guys standing there watching a man get his neck kneeled on for 9 minutes, and don't do anything, they're bad. They're just this, and that happens every video you see of people getting slaughtered like animals in the street. There's always cops standing there watching it.
Yeah,
always.
They need to cut
the video.
They need to call each other out. They need to be accountable in their own community.
Exactly. This is our community, people. Because you're wealthy enough to live in Lake Country or to live in Franklin or Greendale or Greenfield, that doesn't mean that's where the city stops.
Rob, we had somebody text into 414-799-1037.
I'm sorry, I'm pissed, guys. Thanks for
No, Rob.
You're not the only one. We want you, you know, you're being very raw right now and very honest, and you're saying things I don't think people can handle sometimes or can hear sometimes, but we got to be raw.
Hey,
this is the only way we can talk about it.
You got to have uncomfortable conversations to get change.
Listen, here's my final point.
Please do.
You can see other people's points. I'm an atheist, and I kneel and I pray with these people.
Yeah, because you're standing with them.
You don't have to be like them to be with them. Get down here and do something.
You don't
have to. Stop watching Fox News.
Hey, Rob, say that again for the people in the back.
What's that?
You don't have to be like them to be with them.
Get down here and do something.
Yeah.
Do something. Come on, guys. I'm on 12th and Belit right now.
Okay.
Come on down. Let's see what we can do. Let's see what we can do.
I love it, man.
Peacefully.
Peacefully.
That's right.
Peacefully.
And help. These people need us right now. They need us.
We all need each other, man. Thank you so much.
Passion.
Love and blessings. I love you all. Be well. Keep the show going. I'm loving it.
Thanks, Rob. We appreciate you calling
in.
We need people like Rob. That's great. Just bring Rob on the show one day.
Being honest.
Bring him in.
Nobody wants to hear.
On the way next.
Rob's on the show forever now.
On the way next, we'll be talking to Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. It's 103.7 KISS FM.
It's a Riggs and Allie Rewind, you know, in case you missed it the first time.
On the phone, welcome to Riggs and Allie to the show, Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor, Mandela Barnes. Sir, good morning, and thank you for being on the program. We appreciate it.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me. Thanks for taking the time to have this conversation.
It needs to be done. It really does. In a station of like ours, we really are breaking format today. We're kind of pausing the show and pushing everything aside and saying, look, we got to have these really honest, blunt conversations with people about real issues that have been a problem for much longer, well before George Floyd, long before this. And this is just seems like the straw that broke the camel's back with America and with the whole community. So how are things in your world being the right-hand man of Tony Evers and just being in the Madison aspect of it? How are things in your world now?
Yeah, things are very busy. You know, when I first got elected, I talked about the need for us to promote equity and sustainability. And a little background for people who may not be familiar with me, before I ran for office in 2012 when I ran for state representative, before that, I was an organizer for a group called MICA. It's an interfaith social justice organization. Mm-hmm. We tackled the issues like racial justice, jobs and economic development, education, immigration reform, and treatment instead of prison. Some very core central issues that impact Milwaukee or impact the entire state of Wisconsin, but people weren't necessarily talking about as much as they should or weren't informed. So that was the goal, to go out in the community, to have conversations with people, to talk about, you know, the big challenges that we face. You know, Wisconsin is an incredible place, but we are deeply, deeply challenged. And it's up to us to solve these issues we're dealing with, whether you're physically near the problem or not. Because as you see, when these conditions get to a certain point, they bubble up, then everybody becomes affected. And another thing I would say that we're seeing here, you said the straw that broke the camel's back, we're dealing with so many other things as well. Now, don't forget, COVID-19 is still out there.
Yes.
And there's a disproportionate rate of black and brown people in this state and this country who are bearing the brunt and seeing the majority of deaths of COVID-19. And when you have that topped with the economic impact that the coronavirus has brought on this country and on this state, and then the racial tensions that come up when another unarmed black person is shot. I mean, you have to, or not even shot, just mishandled by police and killed, intentionally mishandled by police officers, and his life was taken in front of so many people. Like, and these things have been happening, like you said. The thing is, there weren't always cell phone cameras.
Yeah.
We've been talking about these things,
right.
We've been talking about this for generations.
Yep. Right.
And now that something is so grotesque, or people see that it's so grotesque because it was caught on camera, that brings tension. It reminds people of the last time it happened, the last time it happened, the last time it happened, where there's very little recourse. You know, it took a while before that officer to get arrested. I mean, before him, there was Ahmaud Arbery, who was killed by vigilantes while he was out for a run. And you had Breonna Taylor, who was in her own home, who was shot and killed, and they weren't even at the right house.
Yeah.
She wasn't even the person
right.
they were looking for.
Yeah.
In Louisville, Kentucky, and a lot of people forget about that. So it's easy for people to get frustrated. And, you know, sometimes you think, like, you know, how hadn't this happened sooner? When you look at uprisings in other countries, and you know, I hate the level of destruction. You know, it is as a leader in the state, is the last thing you want to see. But we have to work diligently to fix the conditions that got us to this point.
Yep.
We really appreciate you being on the show today. We are talking to Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And I loved it how you said, you know, before you were in office, you worked a lot with social injustice. And one of the questions we had from listeners, specifically white listeners, because race is relevant as we're talking about this, was how can we help? What do I do if I'm in the suburbs? You know, what do I do, basically, besides just have a conversation? What are your suggestions for that?
Yeah, there's so much. And I, you know, a friend of mine on Twitter yesterday, she talked about how she has, I mean, she gets it, but she said, you know, she has a lot of racist family members, but is that a surprise to anyone? And I quote tweeted and I said, you know, and the message wasn't to her, it was to other people, especially a lot of folks, a lot of allies who are taken to the streets is, you should break the glass at the kitchen table before going down and breaking glass and, you know, out in the streets, because those are the most important conversations to have. the talks with your friends, and you know, you can translate this to anything. I talk about this when I go talk to folks about voting, and you talk to your friends, family members, and neighbors about it. Same goes with racism. You just talk to your friends, family members, and neighbors about it. Have these honest, hard conversations. And I know they aren't easy, but they have to be had, because you see the result. What happens when these conversations don't happen enough?
Yeah.
And I was looking on. I live on the internet, I guess. But it's like
we all do.
I came across something about 75 things white people can do for racial justice, and they include, you know, just a lot of. It's a Medium post. You know, they talk about whether your police force currently employs evidence-based police de-escalation training, you know, and people, you know, if friends are educators, are teachers, make sure that, you know, they are talking about, you know, relevant issues. Think about yesterday was the 99th anniversary of race riots in Oklahoma. And I was also looking on the internet, and a friend of mine who was a history teacher found out about it that day, yesterday.
He didn't know about it.
Wow.
Right, and so it's like the history of what's been going on in America for so long, the whole story doesn't get told.
We painted the picture we wanted.
The whole story got told, regardless how painful it is and how it may make the nation look. We have to learn from those lessons, and people should be able to learn. People need to learn from those lessons in order for us to not repeat the same mistakes, in order for us to be very conscious about thinking about how do we make sure that we never get back to that again. Because the last thing you want to see, you know, we pull through this generations from now, people forget about everything that happened, and we get right back to this place again. And I don't think feel very fragile right now, because they are very fractured. But I do also look at this as a moment that we can rebuild, that we can look at things differently. Everybody was excited about 2020, thinking about, oh yeah, we're gonna go into 2020 with this clear vision. It all seems so perfect.
Yeah.
But now I think folks should look at it as the need for us to have a completely different vision. We need to reexamine how we look at society, how we approach racial justice, how we look at our economy, how we look at healthcare, how we look at environmental issues, and
it's time for reform, basically, right? Yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
We're talking with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. On the other side of Allie's question, who said, what can we do? What should we make sure that we don't do? Because so many times this happens, and we see these videos, and we see it publicized, and we see it getting out of control. There's protests, and then it seems like the next thing happens in our ADD society, our entitled society. We go, oh, well, here's something else, shiny red ball. Let's start worrying about this. Let's jump on this other hashtag.
If it doesn't affect them directly, they don't care.
So
yeah.
What are things that we should not do to make sure that this doesn't repeat itself and that this conversation stays and we can create change? What should we not do? Like, what's been the problem in the past?
Don't ignore the things that don't impact you directly. I mean, I think that's the most simple way that I can put it. You know, I think about the issues that are important to me, the issues that, you know, I will go to bat for, and a lot of them don't directly impact me. Like, I am when it comes to issues of immigration, I don't have any immigrant family members. I don't come from an immigrant family. That issue is important because it helps us build a more inclusive, more solid, stable society. LGBTQ issues. I'm not a member of the community, but it is important for us to build a solid, inclusive, stable society that works for everybody, right? None of us live on an island, right? I don't think that point is clear enough to a lot of folks. You can't find yourself comfortable if the people around you are uncomfortable.
Right. Yeah. Right. Have you talked at all, we're talking to Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. Have you talked at all? I was curious to the governor of Minnesota. Did the governors talk? Because obviously the George Floyd situation in Minneapolis, and we're on the border. I was just curious if there was any interaction there.
Yeah, the governors do talk. I talk pretty regularly with the Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota. In Illinois and Michigan, too, we all pretty much talk.
Okay.
Our state border.
Good. I was curious if you guys talked at all and how that affected.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
When we talk, we vent. country.
Yeah,
I bet.
Yes, because you're in charge. You are the leaders. Yeah, you're part of the leadership, and so yeah.
We'll take that. We need to take
all of us. This is our first term too. All of us.
Oh yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with you. We have a couple more questions for you with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And if you have one, you can text to 414-799-1037. We will read those. It's next on 103.7 KISS FM. On the phone with Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, having some open and honest conversations about the state of the state of the country, the state of the city. Mr. Barnes, I had a question for you involving like all the protests that have gone on here as of late. Obviously, that's the big headline in the news.
Last night was even bigger. The president came out and said he was going to send the military. I mean, a lot happened last night.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get too political, but we have to talk about some of what's going on.
Yeah.
So how
are things being handled from the state level as far as you were involved with the protesting? And there are some bad apples that are spoiling it, that are looting. And it's sad that those people are getting the attention and distracting from the real issue. So how are you handling it from a state level?
Yeah, absolutely. And the whole bad apples piece, I'm really glad you brought that up, because that's a comparison people use with, you know, police departments. And folks want, you know, the nonviolent protesters, the ones that are actually getting the point across, to hold the other people accountable, the ones who are doing everything else. And it's about accountability, and that's what the peaceful, nonviolent protesters are looking for in cities and states across the country with police departments, is for the bad or the good cops to weed out the bad actors.
Yeah.
And it's funny because we're all looking for the same thing here.
Right. And we're saying, yes, exactly. Yes.
And from a state perspective, you know, I personally support people's right to protest. They should. People have very real concerns that should get out there. And I wouldn't be here in this position if I weren't someone who was out there protesting first. So completely understand. And I just want to remind people again, like, as devastating as it is to see a lot of the destructive things happening, it got to that point. It didn't get to that point out of nowhere. People didn't just wake up and say, well, I'm just going to go break some stuff. I'm going to destroy some things.
Yeah.
We're looking at generations of mishandling of communities. And there is the violence, the police violence aspect. But there's also the other injustices that I talked about, earlier, be it healthcare, be it education, be it jobs in the economy. These are real things that we have to deal with, we have to face, and people have to listen. Elected leaders have to listen, and folks can get away for so long ignoring the plight and the struggles of these communities. And my role as Lieutenant Governor is the reason why I ran, is to talk about these issues that weren't being talked about, to push for the change that the protesters are calling for, whether they're protesting or not, the things that people have seen as a misapplication of government. And I'm using that term because it's easy for people to feel like their government isn't there, or isn't there for their best interest, isn't doing the things, or isn't being responsive to their needs. So you have people who are going without health insurance, and large companies, large corporations are getting these massive tax breaks that create a system of inequality.
Mm-hmm.
And this type of inequality can't last. It's volcanic. These things have just been bubbling up for a really long time.
And people need to put that hurt and frustration and anger somewhere, which is kind of what we've been talking about in the community, and they're struggling. So, yeah. So here, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is on the phone with us. Do you know in comparison, do we have more peaceful protesters than we do violent or looters when it comes to the state? Where are we at? Because you hear all kinds of things on the news that there's more peaceful and less looters, or more looters.
Absolutely more peaceful. And I've even seen, videos of protesters who are working to stop looters, who are, in Madison, apparently, it was the post-curfew protest, but it was still nonviolent, and it was peaceful. And I guess an altercation happened because some people didn't want it to stay that way. And so some of the protesters holding the other ones accountable to, you know, try to stop it from happening. And this has been the case. And I've seen multiple videos where people were, you know, breaking out windows, but the organizers were working to try to stop it. And that is one thing too, because these things can be easily co-opted by some very malignant forces. And that's the last thing we also want to see, because there is a real message with this movement. There is a real end goal with this movement. And we don't need that to be disrupted. And I, you know, my message to all the organizers out there is to be safe, but also remain vigilant and be aware of who is trying to come in and take over and what message they're trying to send.
We're talking with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. You're involved, obviously, on the state level. You're the right-hand man to Tony Evers. What can be done from a legislation standpoint to help alleviate or to help create some change or help put things in the right direction? Just a year ago in Milwaukee County, Chris Abele and David Crowley, they worked to have racism declared a public health crisis in Milwaukee County. We're actually talking to him next hour. But what could be done at a state level, legislation-wise, if anything, and enforced to help move the needle?
Yeah, that was actually County Supervisor now, County Board Chair Marcelia Nicholson, that pushed to get the racism declared as a public health issue. But accountability, again, like it comes back to the word accountability. And there is so much, you know, legislation. There are so many ideas out there that people have already been discussing, like, you know, requiring officers to de-escalate situations. Not allowing officers to choke or strangle civilians, and not allowing those bad apple police officers to be able to transfer departments once they're fired for misconduct, because we do see that happening.
Oh, wow.
And also, the partners, the people who stand by, because the one officer, Derek Chauvin, is the one who had his knee on the neck of George Floyd, but there were three other officers who let it happen, and they need to be held accountable as well. They are accessories to that crime.
Yeah.
And also, you know, there's the independent review, which was a bill that we passed in legislature when I was there, that required an outside agency to investigate officer-involved shootings rather than letting the department investigate themselves, because, who's going to tell on themselves?
Yeah, so that's legislation you passed that's relevant.
Absolutely,
that's super relevant to the situation. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. And, you know, even having police departments to require officers to exhaust reasonable means before resorting to deadly force. And things like that, you know, the shoot-first mentality, whether it is ingrained or whether it's just, you know, what they do in person, you know, I think that we have to totally have our police departments reimagined and make sure that the officers that are coming in fully grasp the reality of, you know, the work that they're being involved in.
Yep. Yes. I agree with all of that. And I did want to say, because I know we're limited on time, but we barely talked about COVID.
Yeah.
So I know we brought it up a little and we were talking about worrying about how that, you know, could affect everybody. Where are we at with that, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes? Because a lot of people are just kind of living their lives and we see the protesters getting together. Are you worried about any of that, or where are we at with all this?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I am very. Yeah. I'm absolutely worried about the potential spread of COVID because of, because of large gatherings. I am 100%. And, you know, we're over 18,000 confirmed cases here in Wisconsin, and we are approaching 600 deaths.
It's still a thing that did just go away, by the way.
I know
you can lift safer at home all you want to, but you can't lift a virus that's still out there, still happening, still impacting people.
Not without a vaccine.
Right?
Is there
anything else, any other messages you would like to deliver to the community since you have Milwaukee, list the ear of Milwaukee right now, Lieutenant Governor?
Absolutely. We all have a role to play to fix this. And like I said from the beginning, the people who are out there protesting are working to make this country a better place. People aren't protesting because they want things to get worse. People are protesting because they are tired of the injustice and they want a city, a state, a nation that is equitable for everybody, one that offers opportunity. And we have to push it to get to that place because folks have asked for too long. People have cried out for help for too long. Now, this isn't about driving wedges between communities. If anything, it's about bringing people together and showing them that our strength is with each other.
I agree. Oh, we're glad to have you in power. You're one of the leaders that I follow, that I look to, and I'm glad that we have you in our state to be there with Tony Evers.
I just need leaders to acknowledge it, and long as, you know, they have to acknowledge it first, which a lot of them are, and then, you know, obviously make some changes, and we appreciate you and hope we go forward, not back.
That's
but man,
state
what
slogan,
a world
man.
We're living in, huh?
That is the state slogan. Ooh, forward.
Yeah, what a world.
Uh huh.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate you all too. You know, thank you for what you're doing. You're doing a service, and you didn't have to do it. There are a lot of people who aren't doing it.
Well, we need to do it. We got to have these uncomfortable conversations to break through
it.
And
I'm a pissed off white person. Yeah. I admit it. I've been pissed off for years. I'm glad everybody else is getting pissed, but I want them
but
to
I'm
do it
also,
safely, and I want change, and I want to be rational and reasonable.
And I'm done with my white. I'm done with white silence, to saying, you know what, that's just going to work itself out. That'll take care of itself. No, I'm done standing idly by, because that makes you just as guilty and complicit. So I'm done with it too.
Good to hear.
Thank you very much, Mr. Barnes. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, and I'll talk to you all soon.
Riggs and Allie.
It's Riggs and Allie.
Weekday mornings and always on demand at 1037kissfm.com. Riggs and Allie Rewind.
103.7 Kiss FM. It's Riggs and Allie. Good morning. Today the show must pause. We're taking kind of a detour from regular programming this morning. I don't know if you've been listening. We had some really raw conversations with listeners in the 7 o'clock hour. We talked with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes last hour, and we're excited to have on the show this morning Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Good morning, sir. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, Riggs and Allie. I'm ecstatic to actually be here. I've listened to your show many times, but I appreciate you pausing and allowing me the opportunity to address your audience.
Of course. That's what we're here
for. Thank you for coming on the show. I was just reading your statement that you released and just yesterday or the day before, and I loved it, quite frankly, and I loved in it. I can't read the whole thing on the air. People can go read it. But one of the things you had talked about, Mr. Crowley, was that you hear people say that they've called Congress people, they've called their state senators, they've called everyone, and nothing's changing. And I love that you pointed that out in your statement. We just want to have it like an open conversation what's going on in Milwaukee and what we can do and how we can help.
I mean, absolutely. I think that, you know, a lot of times, and what we've seen over this weekend, it is frustration. When you think about the fact that this has been going on for many, many decades. And then when you even add COVID-19 and all the tension that has created in society right now, you know, it created a lot of tension, and a lot of people don't know what to do. So, you know, we have to really focus on making sure that we're not only voting, but holding our elected officials accountable to make the necessary policy changes. But we also need to make sure that we're having those difficult conversations with one another, with people who don't necessarily look like us, so we can kind of get an understanding of what the different experiences are. I think this is a weekend where you've seen joy, you've seen pain, you know, you've seen peace, you've seen some destruction. But underlining all of that is hope. And that's what we need in this community right now. That's what we should be focusing on, because I think that this weekend has showed us what America is, but it also shows us what we can become. And I think this is an exciting time right now to make the changes that we absolutely need to make.
We're talking with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Now, a year ago, back in fact, in May of 2019, racism was declared a public health crisis. Milwaukee County, you and Chris Abley kind of worked on that. And then just back in April, you guys signed in some legislation. Can you tell us about what is in that legislation and what is going to be done to hold that accountable, to hold the people accountable?
Absolutely. So, you know, that piece of legislation basically holds us as elected officials accountable when it comes down to how are we investing back into the community. So if we're making budget cuts or if we're improving different parks, are we looking at this through a racial equity lens? And when you look around Milwaukee County, this is one of the most segregated places in the country. And so we have to recognize that we do have an issue. And so the fact that racism is a public health issue and COVID-19 has really exacerbated that when you look at health disparities and even when you look at the continued police brutality and how people came out, people are fed up. And so when I look at what's happening right now, I think it's a perfect opportunity, again, to really bring that hope to the community. But, you know,
it's an emotional time. I know a lot of people are trying to figure out what is next. But I think that it's, again, about having those tough conversations about what we could do. And it really boils down to accountability, holding yourself accountable, but also holding your peers and your electors accountable.
We keep hearing the words accountability and hard conversations. Like, what is an example of a hard conversation that we should breach with us in our community, as from the white community? Like, what are some of those talks that you would suggest that we have, that we just cut right to it?
I mean, for example, when we talk about like COVID-19 is happening right now, this is directly impacting communities of color. We've had over 7,800 cases here in Milwaukee County. But 64% of those cases directly impact Black and Brown communities. And when you think about the deaths, we've had over 200 deaths. The majority of that have been African Americans here in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. And so even when we look at the health disparities, when we look at, you know, where all the poverty particularly is concentrated in Milwaukee County, which is in the city of Milwaukee, we have to recognize that we have to do something about the segregation.
We have a huge imbalance. Yeah. Sorry. We're talking to David Crowley. I didn't mean to cut you off, but yeah, I completely hear you. There's a huge, huge difference in the lives we're all living, which is crazy when it comes to Milwaukee County and the surrounding areas, right?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, just think about it. Right now, we're telling people that they should wear masks when they're going out. A hard conversation is, you know what, when you see a Black and Brown person wearing a mask, understand that that's normal now, that they're just trying to protect themselves and others while they're going out during this pandemic. And so those are some of the hard conversations that we have to have. And the fact that we did this at Milwaukee County, you know, it's going to take some work, and we're working on that strategic plan to make sure that this is not just a top-down approach, working with our frontline workers, working with middle management to make sure that, you know, again, we're being conscious of what we're doing within Milwaukee County to be that example for everyone else.
Absolutely. And what's going on in the heart of Milwaukee with the protests? Because you see a lot on the news, and, you know, I just want to get the information out there of what's really happening. Are we having more peaceful protesters, or are we having more looters? These are the things people run with, you know, if they don't have the facts.
Yeah. So I think a lot of the times, you know, when we think about these protests, we get folks who are supportive of the looting or supportive of the peaceful protests, or those who are angry about it. And I want other folks to really understand and recognize that, you know, when you think about a group of people, anyone who has been traumatized, who have been hurt, who was suffering and seeing so much pain, it's kind of hard to tell someone how to necessarily react. But, you know, we have been out there on the front lines, and there have been a lot of peaceful protests. And there are many more of folks out there who want to come out there and show their solidarity and show their support for the many individuals who have died by the hands of police officers. And so it's great to be out there. But, you know, sometimes you see those looters, those who are bringing destruction to these communities. And there have been many instances, particularly here in the city of Milwaukee, where they've been able to stop those looters. They've been able to stop folks from coming in, particularly from outside the community, to help destroy and agitate others. And so we've been working with the police department. We've been working with community leaders. We've been working with organizers of the protest to help keep that peace. You know, sometimes you can't necessarily keep everything great, but, you know, we've been doing everything that we can to make sure that everything has been good. And last night I was out there, and it was peaceful, going through the city of Milwaukee, going through Shrewsbury and Whitefish Bay.
That's great. We're talking to Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, and I was asking about the protests. And, you know, I get it. There is so much anger and hurt and frustration for years and years, and people need somewhere to put that energy. That's kind of what we've been talking about. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot happening here, and people want to be heard, you know?
Mr. Crowley, do you feel like this is almost a watershed moment for us? Because I think we've seen a lot of videos in the past, and I think the George Floyd video was different than most. It was raw. It was 10 minutes long. There was really no question. It was a murder. It was a murder that we saw. Why do you feel that this is different than instances that have happened in the past, because it's happened so much. You feel like this is a watershed moment where we can...
Why was this the one that broke the camel's back? Was it just too graphic and obvious, or what? Yeah,
I think one. I mean, when you look at a 9-minute video of somebody standing on the neck, kneeling on the neck of a black man, you know, with so many people watching, and so many people saying, "Hey, you know, he can't breathe," and nothing being done, you know, by that officer or anybody surrounding that officer. And whether you are liberal or conservative, folks are looking at that video and wondering why. And I think people can look at this and say that, you know what, this was a murder. And I'm glad that so many people from all sides of the political spectrum are actually getting involved in this conversation. So I think this is an opportunity that we should look at. This is a turning point that we should take advantage of, because we know that this has been going on in so many different communities of color. And many of us know that and have known that, you know, way before social media. So now that we see it, you know, consistently on an everyday basis, and again with the tensions that has been rising because of the coronavirus, I think that now is that time for us to focus on that change. And I think that so many folks are ready to make that change. It's going to be an uphill battle with the compromise that's going to have to be made, but I think this is an opportunity that we have to take advantage of.
Yeah. Well, we're talking with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Can we put you on hold for just a second here, because we have more questions, but we have to take a quick break.
Yes, sir.
It's 103.7 KISS FM. More with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. It's 103.7 KISS FM, and the show must pause today. We're standing in solidarity with the music industry. They're calling it Blackout Tuesday, and we've actually put the pause on the show and taking things in a different direction, because things need to start going in a different direction and conversations need to be had.
We care about the community. We're part of the community, and we have to talk about this,
And we're lucky to have one of our community leaders on the phone, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, who you've just now been in office for, what, 30 days, you were saying? Like, you've just taken office.
Not even 30 days. It'll be 30 days on the 4th.
Oh, wow.
So it's been interesting. I mean, especially when you think about, you know, working with, you know, all 19 different local municipalities, having to work with the health departments, having to work with also those police departments, particularly in the city of Milwaukee related to the protests, but also the sheriff's office. And so, you know, as we think about everything that's happening, we have been able to coordinate, work well, and communicate even with the governor's office to make sure that you're doing everything that we can to make sure that everything has been peaceful again. But it is interesting. You know, to come in the first 30 days and you're dealing with, you know, brutality, not only within your own county, but seeing it nationwide.
Welcome to work. Here's a pandemic and here's a crazy situation with riots and protests and...
Just when I say nothing's going to surprise me in 2020, you know, literally nothing could shock me. Then George Floyd video comes out and we're all just jaws to the ground, horrified, of course. As we're talking to Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, he brought up, you know, the sheriff's office and the police. I would love to talk about that a little. Just what is happening with, how is everyone working together? Are they working together? Because you see a lot of divide, and that's not really what at least I want. I want us to all come together.
Of course.
Police with community. But how is that working? And because I reached out to the MPD and they didn't respond, which is fine. I get it. They're busy. But how is everyone working together, and are they getting along, I guess, is my question.
Well, when you think about what is happening right now, I think this has really created a lot of solidarity just in general. You can look at different places throughout the country where you've actually seen police officers come out and take a kneel with the protests and march with the protesters. And we've seen that happening. Yesterday, we had Sheriff Arnell Lucas come out during one of the cleanups that I was at. So they are coming and want to show their support. But we do need more people to speak up and speak out and really let folks know again on the ground that they are supporting the protesters. And many of them, again, have been. But we need to make sure that, you know, folks know that they are being supported. But do we all get along? We do all get along when we need to. I mean, we do have politics.
Well, yeah.
You know, we're usually fighting for different types of resources, many of them that may overlap, and especially with this COVID-19 crisis. We have been working very, very well together because we've kind of been forced to, but that's one of the things that I focused on throughout my campaign was, you know, how do we bring more people to the table? Whether you're a Democrat, Republican, member of an organized labor group, or a business owner, we need more diverse voices to make sure that we're making sound decisions on behalf of this community as a whole.
It's a little strange watching five rich white men stand up on the national news the other day talking about this. I'm like, this is the weirdest. Like, we need some more diversity. Come on. What the hell?
Yeah. And we're making strides on that. I am the first African American elected to this seat. You know, I'm also a millennial. I'm 34 years old, you know, married with three girls. And, you know, when I look at what's happening, I see things slowly changing here and people and the mindset is slowly changing. Some would say it's not happening fast enough, but is it happening? I think that we can admit that some things are happening. But, you know, we just have to take a deeper dive into many of these issues again to make sure that, you know, when we're having these conversations, that we're making decisions through a racial equity lens, because sometimes we really don't understand what those unintended consequences are based off of many policy decisions that are being made. And so when we talk about accountability, is it extremely important, again, that you talk to your elected official and you talk about the policies that needs to be changed and how those are disproportionately impacting whoever that group may be, whether it's women, people of color, the LGBTQ community. We have to start making sound decisions and making sure that, you know, we are looking through everything through equity, because we know that, quote unquote, being fair isn't necessarily fair to everybody.
Right. Mm-hmm. We're talking with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. What do you feel is still your biggest hurdle, even though we are seeing change and we are seeing people, we are seeing solidarity? What is still, you feel, in your opinion, the biggest hurdle that you're facing to have your mission move forward?
At the end of the day, one of the underlying things that you know that's affecting all of this is poverty. And when we think about the amount of poverty here and concentrated here within the city of Milwaukee, you know, if we're not focusing on getting people access to jobs, strengthening our public transportation system so we can get to a Waukesha or a Foxconn once it's ready and we can get people out there, or to an Ozaukee in Washington County, how do we start making sure that we are Milwaukee County can not only be a leader here in the community, but also a leader here in this region and making this a region that we can compete globally? And so we really need to focus on how we're working well with one another inside and outside Milwaukee County so we can make this a great destination. A lot of people don't understand what kind of a hidden gem Milwaukee is. If you go to Bradford Beach, you can go there and not understand how beautiful that beach is and go to a destination that everybody likes to go, and you're like, oh, this sucks. Right. I don't want to really be here. And I think that, you know, once we understand what we have, once we open our eyes and we really start making this a place where, you know, people want to move to, and the people who are doing great things who are from here stay here, you know, we're going to be able to grow this community. Not only when you think about, you know, just the morality and the spirit of everybody, but also economically as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Because that's on a lot of people's minds, too. Yes. The economy and jobs. And there's so much, so many stressors right now.
You mentioned the transportation out to Waukesha and to other outside counties. Was that what we had seen in the news, I think, last week about the president had given us, I think, a bunch of money to help create that? Do you know anything? Can you speak on that line that's happening with MCTS?
So we received about $40 million from the federal government to invest in a bus rapid transit system that would pretty much go along the Wisconsin corridor, Wisconsin Street corridor, going from about, if I'm not mistaken, downtown near the lakefront all the way west, maybe into Brookfield. And so this is going to provide the opportunity for folks who are in Brookfield to come into the city of Milwaukee and vice versa, so we can make sure that traffic and people have access to opportunities and family-sustaining wages.
That's great. Access great. And opportunities was what people
and
less, need.
And hopefully, and then people moving in and out. Like, I hate that the city, you know, that Milwaukee is so segregated. That's another thing I hope we can work on, you know,
yeah.
and get people to come out.
My goal is to remove us from the list of being one of the most segregated places in the country. And people ask you how I'm going to do this. And I don't necessarily have a blueprint, but we have to put a stake in the ground. We have to set goals for ourselves as a community. And that's what we should be striving for. So
hell
we're all
yes.
in this yeah. together, and no one person can get it done.
That's right.
He's right. He's like, I don't have the answer, but I'm going to start today with a stake in the ground. I love it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In fairness, you just took office, and there's a lot of stuff going on. So we'll cut you some slack. Mr. Crowley, we really thank you for your time today. We know you're very busy. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep fighting the good fight for Milwaukee. You're one of the leaders that we look to and we follow, so we appreciate you very much.
Any of the Milwaukee County leaders, always welcome to come on and talk to us about what's going on, because we want our listeners to stay informed and not turn an eye and get, you know, just move on with their lives, which is what people like to do. We want to keep the conversation going.
Absolutely. And once this is all over, I would love to get in the studio and have us sit down and actually talk about, like, the Kardashians and Tiger King.
Done.
You're in.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Mr. Crowley. We appreciate it. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks, Riggs and Allie.
We appreciate
thank you.
Thank you. It's 103.7 KISS FM.
Riggs and Allie.
It's Riggs and Allie.
Weekday mornings and always on demand at 103.7KISSFM.com.